Excuse me.
Here.
Carol Humphrey?
Here.
Dawn Ware?
Here.
Cheryl Pyle?
Here.
Okay. Quorum. Let's stand for Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Can I have a motion for approval of the agenda?
I make a motion to approve the agenda.
I second it.
Okay, motion's made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Mm-hmm. Motion passes 4-0. Hey, student representative report, Nicole Peterson.
Okay, well, it was a busy week last week. The science team went up to Seward, and that part of the National Ocean Science Bowl. So they got fourth overall.
Awesome.
I don't know how many teams there were, but there was 20 last.
There's 20.
20 again? Oh. Okay, 20 again. And they got ninth in their paper and second in the oral presentation, and then they made it to the championship bracket and quiz bowl.
Awesome.
So that's good. And then there was an art show where we got lots of awards in that from our high school. And then on to basketball, they went up to Juneau last week. And they girls did good. They played hard, so did the boys. And then Robin Schwartz and Emma Peeler got Pep Band All-Stars. And then David Galactionoff and Caleb Simbahan got Cheer All-Stars. And then Kylie Wallace, Ruby Brock, Tristan Walton, and Michael Brock got all conference for basketball players. And then all three, the pep band, the cheerleaders, and the basketball players got all academics. So that's really nice. And then the track and field and baseball started today.
Oh.
And spring break is next week. So you have a day on Thursday.
All right. Well, I'm excited to hear they got all academic.
Yeah, that's great. Great.
Okay. Any correspondence? No? Okay. Comments from the audience unrelated to the agenda? Comments from the audience related to the agenda? Okay. Comments from board members before we move on? No? Okay. Well, I will then request a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Yeah. I second it.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded. Clerk, please call the roll.
Dawn Ware?
Yes.
Dawn Greenhurst?
Yes.
Carol Humphrey?
Yes.
Cheryl
Smile? Yes.
Okay, motion passes 4-0. Administrative reports, Dr. Thomason.
Dan Tate's unable to be here. So I'm going to quickly let you know that the CIP for Stedman Elementary siding is progressing nicely, and I'm sure Erica has in her plans, I hope, to give you some details on how we're implementing that at the building level. Dan has been fielding the paperwork from the architects and the contractor, the Department of Education, and CERC, and just doing an outstanding job in that. So those details at the tracking end are being done by him, and then Eric is at the planning end in terms of how we're going to deal with the calendar and the building and packing, and she is all over that, so I'm convinced that's going to work. It's been a mild winter in terms of conservation of energy in terms of the fuel oil, so we're thrilled at that. It's been lower than normal expenditures. The rebuilt boiler is leaking slightly. We're going to be taking it offline in late April, sometime in April when Dan is comfortable that we can take it offline and find out what's going. Are some of the new cores leaking? So it's under warranty, and that's why we want to get in there as quickly as possible. And then Mike Cottrell, as you know, has moved into the maintenance department, is doing a great job there. It was the missing link in terms of processing requisitions, incoming and outgoing shipping, and keeping the data up to date in our School Dude maintenance tracking software, which you get points through the CIP process for being accurate. So it's working out just like we'd hoped. He and Dan Tate go to School Dude University in April and learn how to get even better at the program, so we're excited about that. In terms of a budget update, there's still financial uncertainty from the state. So we've been fiddling around with the budget, doing what-if scenarios, but we really can't do anything in definitive until we know the real numbers. Now, fortunately, we are a small enough and light enough on our feet district that we can wait to do that. The bigger districts, the Anchorages and the Fairbanks and Kenai, they don't have that luxury. So we are been running best and worst case scenario kind of things and just waiting. And we're trying to leverage, as we always do, retirements and resignations to keep within budget and to keep a strong and viable program. And we have a couple resignations we'll talk about tonight, which we're glad we've been waiting. So as soon as the governor and the legislature settle on a firm funding plan, we'll be able to settle on a firm budget plan. The superintendent search is progressing nicely. The field has been narrowed once, and the team's in the process of conducting telephone reference checks pursuant to determining the field of finalists. We're probably going to be doing telephone or Skype interviews, hopefully next few days, possibly early spring break. I'm not sure how we're going to do that at this point. Would like to see us still on track to have on-site interviews March 25th through the 28th, board travel notwithstanding. We might be well served to figure out a way to keep moving forward with our process, just in terms of it's heating up out there in terms of positions being offered, and we want to be in the hunt. So I would encourage the board to discuss that one at length. Many great things continue to happen in the district, and I'm going to rely on the principals and Food Service Director Carly Wells and the Healthy Living Grant Coordinator Ginger Evans to tell you the great stuff in their reports. And but that's kind of the 10,000-foot view of what's happening. We're doing well. Thank you. Any questions?
With Dan being gone in April, how is that going to work with him commencing work at the school? Is it a short, relatively short trip for him
it's
on
a
the
short
training?
Trip. Oh, yeah, okay. It's a down there one day, back one day, and 3 days of training. And,
okay.
And to his credit, Rands, our new employee there, McIntosh, it's covered. Dan has been teaching him, and so it's covered.
Okay.
Which, right. And Erica's all over it, like I said. Good question. Thank you. Any others?
John?
Yeah, I wonder if, since this is a public meeting, and I'm sure all of Petersburg is listening in. relative to the budget situation, I wonder, I've heard or seen email requests from Norm relative to getting public support for those pieces of legislation out there that support additional funding. I think there are two. There's the omnibus bill of the governor's, I think it's 139, Senate mm-hmm. Bill 139. I can't recall the other one, but if there are parents, citizens, faculty, whoever, who would like to add support to that through emails to our legislators, it looks like this is a year that they're listening to us more so than any year I've had access to this. It looks like they are interested in getting feedback, especially relative to the BSA. The two requests I've seen have been, hey, just tell us what you think. There have been two or three public hearings and so forth. So anyway, if there are individuals who feel so inclined, I'm sure Sharon can give you the information in terms of how to contact your legislators. It would be very helpful, I think, to have that support this year.
Yeah, that's a good point. And just as a reminder, this district, as well as every district in the state, we've had 4 years of flat funding and 4 years of declining enrollment. Now, the legislature can't handle our declining enrollment, but they could stop exacerbating it by not cutting the funding at the same time. And so that's a very good comment. Thank you, John.
Thank you. Anything else? Food Service Director report. Carly Wells.
Okay. So, let me hand these to you guys. This is just a quick... So, as a background, the state of Alaska, the our lovely department that administers our food service and all of the child adult care facilities, they were able to secure a grant that bought software for all the schools. This is really awesome. This means that we all are going to share one system, which, you know, the little pieces of paper I gave you kind of goes over
what software we actually are getting. So we're getting all of our free and reduced applications can now be done online. We're working on this right now. This is not live right now. We are a pilot school. It's going to be a lot of work on my part and my staff's part. I've got Carol Larson, who's going to step up, and she's going to help administer this. It's kind of crazy. We're going to try to do this. We're going to be amazing at it. The part that I'm really, really excited about is the if you go to the menuing planning and the production. So what this is going to allow us to do is we're going to be able to have all of our calorie counts and all of our nutritional data for every parent who wants to know. So this is going to be amazing, super amazing. So that will just be awesome. And then the production portion of that will make sure that we are in line with what we're supposed to be doing, what we're doing, our minimum and our maximum requirements of our nutrient analysis, of our, we have grains, that you know, maximums, minimums of proteins, maximum minimums, and then the vegetables. So you have to have certain ones of each category. We actually do an outstanding job because we have a salad bar. So we get all of our requirements in with extras. So we're actually really great. But this will just prove to the state, and they can pull it up anytime they want and just check. So that's when you get into that the new review process, which is now changed to every 3 years, that's going to make it so much easier. They're going to spend less time in the district and more time just communicating back and forth through emails and on our servers and all of that. The last page you have there, this is relatively new. This is part of the Healthy, Hungry, Free Kids Act. I did not give you the whole 60-page document. I only pulled one page out because this is the most relevant for us right now. What this is going to mandate is that all food service staff have a mandatory training. There's also minimum qualifications for directors and all of that. So I, myself, instead of waiting for these standards to go out, I started school last month. It's crazy. I don't know why. But so I'm going back for my bachelor's. And then to get ahead of this, I have all of my staff registered with the School Nutrition Association so that we can get them to be trained and do all of our training online for relatively free. So that will be very instrumental in making sure that we are ahead of all of the processes. When you look at what we've done this year, just to jumps pace. So in the elementary, we started a pilot program in the fifth grade of feeding breakfast. In about a week before the pilot program, we fed about 80 students. Now in a week, we feed about 150 students. That's just adding fifth grade, and that's a universal feeding program. So we're looking at, you know, seeing if that increases our participation, feeds our kids, and how that reacts or how that impacts those students. So that's an ongoing pilot. In the high school, we started the Second Chance Breakfast Program. Before the program, we had zero high school kids eating breakfast. Right now, we have about 35 kids eat a day, which is actually more participation than our lunch. But that's, you know, but it's still, it's amazing. It's 35 people that are eating something. And they're all, you know, complete meals, nutritious meals for the most part. And so that's awesome. So you're only allowed one breakfast period. So in the middle school at this point, we don't have a second chance time to do it. So we have them right in the morning. So anybody have questions for me?
I love the second chance breakfast for high school students because I'm willing to bet a lot of them go out the door, not even breakfast. Whereas in middle school, parents still tend to make sure they get a breakfast or they're eating at school. So this is great. I'm really happy to hear that this has been done. Cheryl, go ahead.
I know that I feed my kids, and then they go and have breakfast because they're starving.
Yep.
So I appreciate it.
The line is always long.
Yeah, second chance breakfast has really gone over great. We couldn't do it one day because the change of schedules, and you can't have the breakfast a certain amount of time before the lunch, and there's a lot of logistics, so we just weren't able to do it without, you know, violating protocol. Mm-hmm. So we couldn't do it that day, and there was a lot of kids that were kind of upset that they wanted their breakfast. So that's awesome. That's great.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're doing some great things there.
You really are.
And then I guess I forgot to tell you that I am the president-elect for the School Nutrition Association for Alaska. And so in April, I will be gone for a whole week to go to St. Louis, Missouri.
Oh, wow.
St. Louis, Missouri. And I will be doing a leadership training.
Nice.
So
Someone will miss you. That's great. Thank you, Carly. Any other questions?
Awesome.
Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, congratulations, Carly, on the presidency. She has very quickly, cream rises, and she's very quickly become a leader in that organization. We just couldn't be happier.
And I pushed Carol into the organization. She's now our secretary.
Oh, good. We're well represented then. All right, principal's report. We'll start with Mr. Dormer.
Good evening. Hello. Lots going on. Nicole, what a great report. You were, I mean, you had the pieces and the all, because I was thinking about this. Good. Well, that's good. Yeah. She just had the students that made the All-League. I mean, they just got back this morning, so that was really good. Thanks. Report. Dr. Thompson granted my request. I asked that Jimmy Cabral not come tonight. He is wiped out. And he started middle school volleyball. And I said, you know what? He's done a great job passing on Nicole, and I'll fill in some of the gaps. So lots going on. Let's start just with region basketball. It's a week. It's a big tournament. Our kids went and they competed hard. I was real proud of our coaches. Not just Rick Brock and Dino Brock, but Coach Matt Powick and Kelly Bell, Michelle Parker, just did a nice job just leading our kids. What's great is that there's just so much, if I can kind of sound like the high school principal, just so much temptation with all these kids in Southeast just smashed in a very small area. There's a lot of free time, and it's just the nature of the tournament. It's completely out of our control, and our kids were absolutely fantastic, and I heard that from lots of coaches and from the parents and staff that were involved with that. Absolutely fantastic, and we've certainly had years in the far past, when I first got here, where it wasn't that way. And so kids are really stepping up and dealing with those type of social pressures and doing a really good job. We have just great kids here. So really proud of the coaches for their leadership, but also just for the kids for making good decisions when prompted there. And then I heard our band was just absolutely outstanding. Our cheerleaders were, I heard, just phenomenal and just kind of a I'm going to call it unlucky that we're not Region 5 champs. They just did a really good job. I heard from many, many people that just said they were just outstanding. And then, of course, our basketball team is just great. So it's a good experience, and it's a lot of time away from school, which I hate. We all hate, but we want to make it the best experience while they're there. So that was great. Lots of people did a lot of work there. Other things that happened in the recent past year, Ty Hobbs, who's one of the state directors for career and technical education, he's out of Juneau, and he actually coincidentally has a home out of Papke's Landing, which is pretty cool. He loves to come down and see Petersburg and loves the town, but he came down on the state's dime. We just had to pay for subs, and we had all three of our CTE teachers work with him, and they spent today and got working on there's just so much paperwork associated with career and technical education. We get some money from them, which is nice, but it's a lot of federal dollars, and the state really true and someone like Ty is a leader that really tries to make it as easy for us as we can, as he can, but there's a lot of paperwork behind it and a lot of setup, which in turn some of that will translate into better programs for the kids. But the teachers work really hard, had some great things, and then he was able to kind of spur them on for some to work on like Louise Lindley with culinary to get some more of a pro start curriculum going. Nick Pop, and really encourage him in some of the welding stuff that he's offering our kids. Really had some great contacts for Jonah Johnson and aquaculture. So it actually turned out to be more than just a paperwork day, but some really inspiring new ideas. And then we talked about how to kind of next steps forward. We've talked about trying to offer refrigeration training for our students in the near future, and he had some great ideas about that. And then also talk about CNA training for some of our high school kids so that when they graduate, they could also be a CNA. And we've been working with Angela Manish and Liz Cabrera in the community to make that happen. So he was a great resource for lots of things, and it was very nice of him to come down. So that's something neat that's going on in the high school there. Also, in my recent past, I was able to go to Craig School District. That was my first time on Prince of Wales Island, strangely enough. It's kind of weird. It's just not that far away, but certainly my first time in Craig. And I was part of their accreditation team with the new principal from Juneau, and then Mary Johnstone, who's a retired, very well-respected principal from up in the Anchorage area. And the three of us went and ran the accreditation process for Craig, and it was nice. Thank you for the board and the superintendent allowing me to go and be gone for that. Really helpful to see the process as a brand new program, but also kind of nice to look at and to inspect another high school. And Craig's a great school, and they have great kids as well and do good things. They're not as good as Petersburg, I'm going to say that, and I'm biased, but they do good things, and they have good kids. And it was fun to analyze them and use some of their forms and kind of do that, and then that will help us when we do our accreditation next year. So a good experience, but a way I spent some of my time, and it was nice to be able to go through that and just see it from, like I said, to get a little familiar with the paperwork, and there was some training associated with that as well. So that was good. And coming up here, of course, we have conferences. And if people are listening, we know that the high school and middle school are on a slightly different schedule. Again, just same amount of time, but they're moving hours to try to offer more evenings. And just reminding everyone that that is Wednesday from 4 to 8 and then Thursday from 1:20 to 8 are your two big opportunities to come in. And please come in and see our great teachers and our staff and talk about your children. And then, of course, if that doesn't work for people, we're just encouraging everyone, please contact a teacher if you haven't been contacted already and set up an appointment outside that time. We're happy to accommodate and flex just to get as many parents in as we can. That's coming up. And then finally, if you hadn't heard yet, I don't know if Cole, you said this, but today high school baseball has started. Coaches are busy. Did you already say all this?
Yeah,
high school track and field started. Middle school volleyball has started. Middle school track does not start until April 7th. That has been a popular question. People are wondering, and those are just shorter seasons, so they're spread out. It's a lot going on, but we're in the final home stretch, which seems very fast. Yeah. Any questions for us?
Middle school on Friday.
Middle school on Friday, right? Okay. For anyone, and no conferences in the high school, middle school, at least on that Friday, the way we moved the hours around. Yeah.
Yeah. I just have a comment
yeah.
for you, Rick, and I want to reinforce what you said about how great our kids were up in Juneau. I had the opportunity on Wednesday to go to the basketball games.
Oh, good.
And I've never been to regionals or seen the kids when they've been out of town. And they all their games, they drew 8 a.m. and 9 a.m.
Yes.
slots. And which you don't expect teenagers to really be up. That's not their
yeah.
biorhythm time of the day. And they were fantastic. The students were incredibly supportive of the basketball team. We had a huge group of our students standing there. They were wearing matching shirts. They were standing up the entire time with parents around. It was a bigger representation
mm-hmm.
than the local people had.
Hmm.
And then, as you said, the pep band, they were fantastic. They just got things going and made everything real exciting. And the kids were very well behaved, polite, and I was just so impressed and proud of them and proud to be from Petersburg and have the students, cheerleaders, basketball players, the students supporting them. It was just very impressive.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah, Matt Lenhardt, I don't know if I mentioned them, obviously with the band,
yeah.
Rachel Etcher, Veronica Maldonado with the cheer squad there. Fantastic.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Cheryl.
this is about the ferry.
Uh-huh.
There is a lot. They were over capacity
on
the ferry,
yeah.
and they did some kind of a special thing. My parents are on this ferry.
Wow.
And not just our kids, but, I mean, all the kids, I guess the ferry staff was very impressed how well the kids mm-hmm. were behaved.
Good.
And, I mean, there was nowhere to sit. And there was just like little walkways, but everyone was just
wow.
very respectful. It was a nice. I mean, you know, when
yeah.
the fairy says, "Wow," so
it's good. I mean, just all smashed together. There's boys
yeah.
and girls, and they're
mm-hmm.
excited, and they're you know been doing activities, and that's a lot. Like, it's a lot of temptation to be
yeah.
crazy.
So they were. I mean, they were really good.
Good. That's great. Thank you.
It's nice to hear they're very respectful.
Yes.
Older
that's
people.
Nice to hear.
Yeah. Right.
Fairy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rick, can you update us on the prom and what's being done to make sure that's a
right? That's our last dance. Yeah, the big hurrah at the beginning of May. Excuse me, so we still got a little bit of time. And yeah, and I've spoken to a couple kids at our last dance, which was homecoming with Wrangell, and our behavior was not great. Again, it wasn't our worst, but we'd kind of backslid a little bit. So prom, similar to what we've done in the past, a meeting with students, trying to get that message out there of what our expectations are for our kids. And this is nice because it's a formal dance again, and it's just our kids for the most part, unless they have a you know date from another school, which is not very big. So, yeah, just getting the expectations up in front and it nice being our kids and just really enforcing it. I'm expecting much better, and we're going in a little bit harder, knowing that our last homecoming dance was not just wasn't great. I'm so disappointed. Yeah. PBIS lesson is one of the ideas. That's a good idea, too. Yeah.
Are you
going to
share that video?
The dance video? We still have that, yeah.
Maybe explain
yeah,
the
we still
whole.
Do our face-to-face leave a space, and that's good to reiterate that as well. And like I said, just to kind of hit it again.
Yeah, when we talk about a PBIS lesson, you might that's kind of like EdgeSpeak acronym, if you want
good.
To explain sorry,
yes.
that a little bit.
Yeah. The Positive Behavior Intervention Support, again, one of our programs. We do a lesson about every other week, and they're real brief, about 5 minutes, and they're broken into smaller groups, so the teachers do it in smaller class sizes. And Ginger's the head of the high school, but we're in the middle school, my world. And but there are other staff members on there and kind of design these ones. Our next one will be on education, then we've got one on PDA, so we've kind of lined out a few there up there just to talk about just issues that what's nice is you look at the data, it isn't just what we're feeling, but the data that says it's something to deal with for prom and that kind of thing, especially with PDA. We know that's something just from watching.
There's no PDA?
I'm sorry.
There you go.
Public display
you
function.
Remember high school.
No osculating in the halls.
It is springtime.
That was
so.
That was the catchphrase with Sid Wright.
Oh, that's a good one. So, yeah, so PBIS gives a chance. But we'll do something at the classroom level regardless also besides just PBIS where the teachers just go through. And a lot of times I'll go through the bigger classes and yeah. talk about, hey, this is coming up. Let's make it a good one.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, that's good to hear.
Yeah.
Prom's on the 3rd of May, and they've got stuff ordered already.
It's already here.
Oh, it's already here? Oh.
Oh.
Stuff is here. I've had lots of boxes in the office.
Good.
Large boxes.
It's coming up. Okay.
Okay.
Wow. Thank you.
Sweet.
All right. Miss KP, come on up.
You are the next contestant.
So we had our fabulous Dr. Seuss Read Across America assembly on Friday. It was pretty fun. Haven't had the Cat in Hat out for a while. It was pretty awesome. And, of course, Miss Irene and Miss Joyce were pretty great, thing one and thing two. So had a lot of fun, and our student council did a lot of work putting that together, and they did a great job. So thanks to them and to Mr. K for coordinating that. And then we had all kinds of activities going on just throughout the day, just focusing on reading, and not just Dr. Seuss, but reading in general. So it was pretty awesome. And keeping in that same spirit, it was a great kickoff for our book fair that's coming up this week. The Scholastic Book Fair is happening. Big thanks to Katie Gilpin for organizing that. She does a great job, just a great job organizing it and staffs it, spends a lot of time. She puts in a lot of time on it. So I'm not going to tell what the theme is, but she's got some pretty great decorations going in there. And it will be open for business all day Thursday, all the way, 8 to 8, Friday morning, 8 to noon. And then I think there's some times on Wednesday as well. Well, the classes all get to go in and check it out on Wednesday. So it's always a lot of fun. It's a great way for parents to, you know, after they come in for conferences, a lot of times they'll take their kids, you know, to the book fair. And so it just works out really well that way. So end of trimester, report cards are going home in the elementary school tomorrow. And we do have, we do schedule conferences for elementary students. So our schedule is Thursday night, same as middle school and high school, 1:20 to 8, and then Friday morning, 8 to noon. That seems to work okay for us. So I think it gives some opportunity for people to be able to attend. We're spreading them out a little bit. We're just going to try it and see how it goes this spring and see if it allows parents a little more flexibility to get around to the different buildings. Sometimes that can get a little bit stressful for people. So we're looking forward to conferences. Always a great time. And then renovation project. As Dr. Rob mentioned, we are in the throes of many details to organize for this renovation project, which is going to start during the school year. The contractors will be here staging the first week of April, which is also during SBA testing. They will not be working on the building at that point. They will just be getting their things, you know, into town and off the ferries and everything, you know, everything located where it needs to be. So there's going to be a lot of logistical issues. They'll be staging on the office end of the building under the covered play area there. They'll start work, actually start working on the building, working on the siding. We're going to start on the back side of the building near the library on the old pool lobby end and kind of work around the building down to the kindergarten end. So that means the office will be moved to the other end of the building for the remainder of the school year. and that entrance will be closed off. We'll have a new entrance for a while by the kindergarten classrooms. We'll have different bus drop-offs and pickups. It's going to be very exciting. We're super, super excited about it. Anyway, but the great thing is, this is our goal, and we talked with the contractors, and they feel pretty confident about it, you know, as I'm saying, and it will be done by August 26th, right? You promise us if we're doing all this work in the spring, but, you know, it's contract work. I mean, they seem great, though. They really do. The contractors have been really helpful. They seem really committed to trying to get this thing, you know, done and get the school year off to a good start. In the fall. So they seem great. And they've done work in schools before, so that always helps, I think. You know, they get that whole thing about life still going on for 2 months there while they're trying to do their work. So anyway, we will get all the details written up and out to everyone this week, actually. So with a plan, we are ready for it. And then we're just, as Rick mentioned, and Dr. Rob as well, but looking at staffing, different staffing scenarios for next year, and trying to be as creative as possible there. And we have a couple resignations coming up on this board docket. So we can do it. We're creative. We will be able to do it, and it will be great. So any questions for me? John?
Yeah, this is maybe just a comment to the board, but I think, given that we are trying to shrink the timetable down on that construction, that there will be real challenges in terms of making sure that we don't fall behind at any point along this road. So I think it would behoove the board to have an update at every board meeting, just so that we can make sure that the project is on time. I mean, the penalty for not coming in on time is pretty great.
Well, it is.
So
and
we just need to make sure that it's monitored well and that everybody performs according to the schedule.
Exactly. Can I mention the schedule change, actually, while we're talking about it?
I know it's... Agenda, you can introduce it, and then we'll vote more discussion. But absolutely, that's all part of this key part of this.
So one of the things that we did talk about in the course of this is you know, many of the things that have to happen in the classrooms themselves. We have several areas that have to be completely emptied because one of the things that's going to happen is some recarpeting, which is great, but it's also one more thing to have to strip out of a room and, you know, prepare for. All the classrooms have to obviously box up and organize anything on the outside walls, move everything to the inside walls, and clear that space because there's also lighting work being done. Again, all of it, this is great, but it is a little bit more... then we, you know, I mean, you think siding, they're redoing the siding. No, they're redoing the siding and the walls and the heating and the windows. It's all great, and it really is going to be, you know, great when it's done. But it's huge. It's a big project. So as we start looking at that, I was trying to think about the end of the school year and thinking, okay, when do we do this? You know, and how do we do this and still teach somewhere along the way there? So. What we're going to do, people are already starting to do some work now. Every weekend we're backing the truck up under the covered walkway at the end, and people are already starting to do some sorting of things and some cleaning. We're working with all the preschools in town and even local churches if they want to come in and look at some things that are kind of being discarded. Starting that process now, but knowing that there's going to be a lot of work, a lot of boxing, a lot of organizing, a lot of tarping, a lot of taping of things, covering up, you know, all of that. So I talked with Dr. Rob about it to see if there was any way that we could potentially have some days at the end of the year for staff just to be able to do that. And he was supportive of that, and then we put together a proposal to talk to the commissioner and ask for the kids to be released early at the elementary school so that our staff can come in and, you know, wear our sweats and put on our hats and box and clean and organize and move. So at this point, we've received... some verbal positive
news. There's a letter in the packet. He has read that letter. He gave his verbal approval pending your approval. Then we sent a letter to the commissioner to give his approval. But we'll talk about that more.
Yeah.
But there were some machinations there.
Yep.
At the agenda
exactly.
Under item 13.2.
Yeah. So we kind of wanted to see if that was even a possibility, and then it moved forward, and the commissioner wanted more information, and I was typing information up at the Wellness Institute, and I'm on the phone, and Rob's in Juneau, and anyway, we were trying to see what that might work, what it might look like, and he was supportive of that. So the request is that the elementary kids would actually be, their last day would actually be May 30th, and that the teachers and staff would have that next week, June 2nd to the 6th, to box and move and tarp and sort and organize. So there's that.
They might be willing to come and move boxes at least. They're quite a team. I've seen them help move
people. And boy, yeah. They get out 8 kids and they can move a whole house in about 2 hours.
Yeah.
They just, boy, they are on it and fast.
That's a good idea.
They like to carry heavy stuff.
That's good. We've got some heavy stuff.
Books.
Books and desks and tables. Yeah.
Good. Something to consider for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay, thank you. Okay, it looks like we move on to upcoming dates and meeting announcements. It looks like, as we discussed a little bit earlier, I heard from the principals that March 13th there's parent-teacher conferences and early out for students. And on the 14th, no school because they have parent-teacher conferences in the morning, at least for the grade school. High school, you didn't have anything on Fridays, right? Yeah. Middle school either. So just parent conferences Friday morning for the grade school, but no school for everybody. Then spring break, the 17th through the 21st. And then on to, it looks like, the end of the month, from the 24th to the 27th, is the anticipated on-site superintendent interviews for the candidates. And then hopefully a selection on the 27th. Then it looks like we've got state assessments beginning that first week that Principal KP talked about. And then we're already up to the next board meeting. So on the 7th, setting the board agenda. Jean won't be back by then.
Probably not.
I feel like it went pretty well electronically again this last month, if that's okay with... I mean, I'll be a part of that as well if one other person wants to be part of the... Okay, Cheryl. Okay. And then got campus connections. I can do that again if somebody else wants to do it with me. On the 15th.
I could do it.
Okay, thanks, John. Okay, and it looks like we have our board meeting set for the 15th. Everybody except for maybe Jean would be back by then. Or everybody in town? Okay, great. And then we have some staff development, which is probably part of the school calendar for continuing either education for the teachers or specific topics to keep them moving along. So there's no school for students on the 21st and 22nd of April. So anything else?
Which is a Monday and a Tuesday.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Long weekend for the kids. Okay, moving on, old business, we don't have any, so we'll go on to new business. The Healthy Living Grant Report, Ginger Evans.
Hey, so I'm Ginger Evans for the Radio World, and I'm going to go ahead and start with the presentation. So I'll have to...
Is the lighting okay? So as far as the Healthy Living Grant, since this is the first time reporting to the board, so you know as a district we received a Healthy Living Grant last summer, late summer, and we fortunately were one of 9 districts in the state to receive this grant from the Department of Health and Human Services under the Obesity Prevention Control Program. So we're very excited. It is a 4-year grant for $600,000 for the district. So as far as what has we accomplished this year. So one of the main charges of the grant is to form a wellness committee, and we've done that. We've met a couple times this year,
And with that, a couple of the members of the committee helped to complete the WellSat early on in late September, and which is pretty much just the review of the wellness policy that district has. It's board policy 5040, and it's looking at ways in which it's a tool that we can utilize to say, okay, this is really good in our board policy. Here's an area that we might need to improve upon. And so it does give us a score and information on what we can do to improve it and also resources that we can utilize to look at it. One thing with this grant has kind of put a momentum forward to work with the Alaska Association of School Boards to work on a wellness policy that all districts statewide can utilize. And they are going to, my understanding is at the end of this month, at March, I think maybe March 22nd, the Alaska Association of School Board is going to finalize and say, yes, this is the kind of the gold standard that we want districts to have for the wellness policies. And as that comes through, then we'll look at it with what we have and what the WellSat suggested and then make changes to the board policy that we have right now and then bring it forward to the board. So we don't have that policy. It's one of those things that I'm kind of like, we started this so long ago, I just wanted to finish it. But with, you know, new things coming from the Association of School Boards, we put it on hold for a while. We've established wellness teams in the buildings for the elementary school, middle school, and high school. So as we progress, and again, next year getting momentum, we'll start working with those different teams, thinking about what can we do within each building to support wellness activities in the buildings. And we've also generated ideas for the Healthy Living Grant under the wellness committees. So that's been really fun. One thing that I'm very excited about with the grant and working with Dan Tate has been absolutely fabulous is Dan came to me early on and said, you know, the water fountains are getting kind of old in the buildings, especially in the elementary school. And he said, have you thought about maybe using some grant money to get some new water fountains? And we talked about it, and we were able to purchase 10 water bottle filling stations. This one was just put into the middle school upstairs, across from Beau Ward's room within the last month, and the kids are loving it. You can see them going and filling up their water bottles. The water is much colder, it's filtered, and they're just very excited about this. And I think as far as one of the main components of the grant is having great drinking water. And we had water. We had accessible water, but kids were not going to all the water fountains because they didn't like the way it tasted, what it looked like when they put in their water bottles. So this is very exciting that this is happening, and it's a process. And as other things kind of come up, like a boiler needs to be fixed, well, then we're not going to be putting in water fountains in some areas. So he's working on it, and he keeps saying, I'm working on it. I said, it's great. Whatever we can get done, we're doing just fine.
You mentioned anecdotally the comment from your latest meeting in Anchorage.
How we're ahead of the curve?
Yeah, we're kind of ahead of the curve because Erica and I just went up to Anchorage for training for the grant. And one thing that came out of a Wednesday half-day session that I stayed for with in conjunction with Alaska Alliance for Healthy Kids is that they were talking about in a whole totally another meeting how putting in water bottle filling stations would be a great idea as a way to help combat the sugary drinks and all these other things, you know, that kids are drinking during a day, and that if they had access to this, that maybe they would start utilizing them. And with this is talking with Dan for long term, because that's a real main concern with the grant that we have, is that we want to make sure that whatever we do implement or changes we're making that can be sustainable once the grant is done without being a financial burden on the district, is that they will, in the maintenance department, just incur the cost of the changing for the filters and everything. It's just something that they will continue to purchase them. And I'm thinking with the one down by the gym, I think we made about 20,000 bottles before they had to change the filter. I mean, I don't remember seeing a red light before then. That's kind of what I'm thinking, how many we should get. So that'd be great.
Good job.
As far as what else have we been able to do as far as support, we've been able to support Girls on the Run in the elementary school, which is a program to build up self-esteem. It's not just running. It's about life and how to help young girls develop some skills to be successful in life. And that was for girls in grades 3 through 5. And there was, 19 girls that participated. And lots of volunteer coaches. And Katie Baird kind of led that charge as far as the head coach. And Joyce Burke Biggs did a lot with organizing that in elementary school. Helped with the Second Chance Breakfast. The image right here is actually a cart that was actually started last year in conjunction with the shop class. It was built by Connor Yeager, and the sign in front was designed and made by AJ Erickson on the new CNC router. And this is also working with the special ed department as far as providing some life skills for students to be able to run the Second Chance Breakfast. So that cart gets utilized. Carly makes up all the meals for the Second Chance Breakfast. They get there, and kids who have free and reduced lunch can use that for the Second Chance Breakfast, or they can purchase it. And the kids really seem to be enjoying it and are doing a great job of keeping it the school neat when they're eating and getting the garbage and the baskets put back where they need to be. So we help to purchase baskets for the meals to be put in through the grant. Also, after-school snack program, K-12, and we're very excited about that students in all three buildings now can have the opportunity of an after-school snack. And it's been really beneficial for the kids. Carly gets them all ready. They come over. Vonda Neunecker is helping to keep that program going in the afternoon in the high school, and she can also provide some academic support with that. And then Nancy Curtis and Tiffany Christensen in the middle school are making that happen. And, again, providing some academic support in the middle school. Breakfast in the Classroom pilot program in the fifth grade classes, as Carly's already talked about, helping to support that, getting some coolers so they can keep the breakfast cold and they can just wheel it in. And so the grants help to support to purchase those coolers. Staff wellness activities, pretty excited about that we have started encouraging staff to take time on Thursday afternoons with approval from Dr. Rob and Erica as the grant supervisor for teachers to leave their classrooms at 3:15 if they feel like they can and go exercise at the gym, and we have reserved the fitness room at the gym for staff to go to get together if they want to do some kind of group fitness. There's group fellow teachers that have been playing racquetball, going up and using the treadmill and the ellipticals, and as weather improves, we'll probably see more people out and about just trying to be role models for our students that it's important to be physically fit and active. Community garden. Also, with staff wellness, one Saturday a month, we've rented the pool for an hour to have kind of like a staff pool time that I've offered my help if staff member wants to improve upon their swimming abilities. And Andy Carlisle has also volunteered some time to do that. So that's pretty exciting. Community garden, working with Mindy Anderson, we were able to write a grant last fall that she just received about a month and a half ago, which is an additional $2,000 to help support our community garden. So I helped with her to provide some connections within the school, what we could do with that. Also working on bringing Lisa Taylor from Seattle Tithe up here. End of April, April 18th, we'll do a staff in-service, and then on Saturday there will be some community activities. So there will be more information coming forward with that. So we've been able to help with that as well. We're going to try to do we are going to do a wellness week April 21st through 25th in conjunction with the health and safety fair that's put on through Parks and Recreation for the community, just to kind of bring awareness within the school. And it's going to be really minor this year as far as what we're going to do, just maybe, and there's different days I have names for to try to get kids thinking about it. And it's also the week that hopefully, as long as the water bottles get here, we'll distribute water bottles to all students, K-12 and staff. And that's one way that we're partnering with Parks and Rec. Karen Malcolm, who just recently became certified as a yoga instructor, came in and volunteered time with 7th and 8th grade students in their PE time and did 5 days with middle school students. She made it through all 72 7th and 8th graders by Thursday, and then on Friday kids had a choice to come back in, and we had 19 kids that came back for another day of yoga. So I thought that was pretty exciting. And also working with Dino Brock and Dan Van Swearingen as the two PE teachers in the elementary school to promote the Healthy Futures Challenge. And with that, I think I have students fill out a physical activity log that they're supposed to be turning back into school, and it's for 3 months. And there's prizes each month that they turn the activity logs in. I'm really encouraging kids to get out and play every day, a little marketing strategy from the state. And just it's the whole thing is getting active. Not only you can be active with your friends, with your family, it's a matter of just getting out and doing something and enjoying what life has to offer. Other accomplishments and requirements with the grant is we have completed the WellSat. Dino Brock, Dan Van Swearingen, and I completed the PCAT, which is a look at the physical education curriculum and seeing where there might be some strengths, where are the weaknesses. And with that, seen as a component of the grant is, after taking this assessment, Dino Brock and Dan Van Swearingen actually are going to a conference the first week of April in St. Louis. That is actually the National PE conference. So we're very excited to be able to send them there, and a lot of working with different sessions with maybe with adaptive physical education programs, looking at movement and what that looks like, and just, you know, PE is changing. There's new national standards that will be out at the end of April, too, of final approval. So then we'll start looking at those and seeing what we need to do with our curriculum in the district to make changes. I'm working on completing the school health index, as well as we will complete the same HECAT, which is the health education component for curriculum analysis, and seeing where changes we might need to make long-term for health curriculum. And finally, I don't know if you've been to have school lunch lately, but this is what the salad bar looks like in the high school, middle school. It's pretty impressive. A long way that Carly has brought our nutrition and food service program, a lot of work that she's done to really put us in the forefront of all the changes that are happening and coming down from the USDA. So it's pretty exciting to be able to partner with Carly as well, because she's phenomenal with what she's doing. So one thing Eric and I learned while we were at the conference last week, and they talked about this, and I've seen it once before, is this idea of health impact pyramid. So why would the state invest money in a grant for schools on obesity and prevention and control? And the main focus here is that the fact that we probably have one of the largest impacts on students because of the amount of time that we're spending with kids and what we can provide for them in a healthy environment, in which we do an excellent job of anyways here in Petersburg. So that's the whole idea that, hey, let's start where we can have the most impact. And that's also learning from the tobacco and control program that they've done throughout the state that's been very successful, that kind of that same model. But I just thought this is interesting and to look at and just see how, you know, we are at the bottom. We're making the biggest difference here with kids on trying to make small changes that hopefully will have a long-term impact in their lives.
They did talk a lot about, I thought the one interesting thing too was that whole conversation about changing the context, how they spent a lot of time on that next layer there, just talking about that whole idea. And if you can kind of see up the side, it's kind of small, but just that idea of that defaulting sort of to the healthier choices or the healthier decisions, you know, kind of, and not narrowing in a strange way, but I mean, just, you know, that those are, they're still choices, they're still options, but the context is that the overall choices are just better. And so it just, the whole atmosphere is different, the environment is overall healthier. So they just talked a lot about that context.
Right, and what with that, one of the contexts is healthy food vending policies. You know, and that's one of the handouts that you received on smart snacking. It is coming down, and it's in the final draft rule.
Yeah,
it was weird the way they word it, but anyways, it's coming down that by next year we're going to have to change what we offer in our vending machines, and also fundraising policies as far as food that's offered during fundraising. Do we, you know, taking a look at that? So that's one thing that we're definitely going to have to, I'm going to be working with Carly this spring on, is just saying, okay, what do we want to see in our vending machine? And I think it's time to really look at, just because Cheetos has changed the way they have their ingredients listed, really doesn't mean that they've changed actually what Cheetos are, you know. And that's what companies are doing now, is they're just changing the ingredients, the order of them, and then they pass through as being acceptable. So a lot of different things going on there. And then just as far as another component that they're working on at the state, and they just came out with some core messages for us to be using as grantees when we're talking in our districts, while we're trying to get some communication out for the communities in which we live. I'm just going to read a few of the core messages that came from this. And, again, it's in its draft version just from us meeting. They said, oh, we're going to go back and change a few of these or add some more components. But in Alaska alone, the direct medical care costs for obesity are close to $500 million at $459 million each year. Schools have a critical role in helping students learn and practice healthy eating habits and in providing the knowledge, motivation, and skills children need for lifelong physical activity. Physical activity and good nutrition are associated with better academic performance. So schools are a natural ally in the effort to prevent childhood obesity. Physical activity is not just about exercise or working out. For kids, it's all about play and getting their bodies moving. Parents play a vital role in physical activity levels of their children. Quality physical education is important because teaches kids the necessary skills to be physically active, gives children the opportunity to develop the motor skills and knowledge to participate in a variety of physical activities, enhances all aspects of development, including health, academic performance, physical fitness, knowledge of movement, goal setting, self-esteem, relationship development, and social skills. So it's, some of these messages are very powerful, and a lot of them are cited with resources and research that has been done in the state as well as nationwide to back up the data that they're using for these core messages. And we actually worked on creating some more media campaign for nutrition, actually, and kind of coming up with a word cloud much similar to this, but it would actually be like, eat five fruits and vegetables a day, or, you know, try, I mean, we joked around about kale, because kale seems to be the in vegetable right now, and so they're talking, you know, everything was kale, and then, you know, just looking at it and trying to think about kids and families, you know, cooking meals together, eating meals together, eating breakfast, the most important meal of the day, and just those different things. And again, it's just all about trying to get information out to parents and to families in a way that they can understand, and utilizing the schools as a way to help promote healthy lifestyles. And I will pass out, I put a few websites together that looked at this year, and again, it's just a building of resources, really, what I've been doing as well during my time. So, any questions?
Not a question, but just a comment. You know, it's pretty easy to get excited about what you're doing here. I just see this as being a critical role in our communities, and one that we can truly help with. You know, our lack of activity amongst kids, video games taking over the previous activities and so forth that kids used to use, the processed foods and so forth that we eat, all kind of contribute to an unhealthy lifestyle for these youngsters. And we do have them a significant part of their day, and we do have a great opportunity to help educate them, and hopefully through them their parents as well. I just applaud what you're doing, and love your enthusiasm and the progress that you're making here.
Thanks.
Yeah, Ginger is doing a great job. I'm going to speak to that too. She won't, but she's incredibly organized and very on top of it. And as those of you know from any work with grants, you know, you have to do that. You have to be on your quarterly, you know, all those things. But I mean, every webinar, every training, every report is just, yeah, we're going forward leaps and bounds. It's pretty exciting.
Idea was a great idea, because you can go to the water fountain on Monday and it'll be processed through, so you'll get clear water, and it's fantastic.
Yeah, it's been great to get a report and see what's been going on, because I think for some of us, at least, I had no idea the extent that had already been accomplished. Mm-hmm. And even tonight, my son was going through his dinner to determine whether we were covering all five food groups. So it's definitely sinking in with mine.
I would also like to compliment you, Ginger. You're obviously highly organized and effective and fast at putting this together. And to second what John said, there's a lot of research I've read about just what you said, Sarah, that it, even exposing the kids, and when they're shopping with their parents, you know, mm-hmm. can we have an apple? And then their mom learns how to eat an apple, or dad, or, you know. Mm-hmm. It's so great that you're starting this.
Well, and I think, too, is, you know, we're talking with Lucy Murdoch, who is the coordinator in Kodiak. And, again, community is fairly similar to mm-hmm. ours. And they're going to be doing a high school renovation or building a new high school in Kodiak. And when she heard I was talking about the water bottle filling station, she goes, what? I think we can do that in the new high school. Can send me the information. So I was able to pull up the requisition and the image of the water bottle filling station that we ordered through Granger. And they gave, actually, here's a plug for Granger. They knocked off $2,000 in shipping for us.
Wow, great.
So that was pretty amazing. And Dan did a lot of legwork for that to make that happen. So anyway, sent them that, and she's just so excited. Like, wow, I wouldn't have ever thought of doing that. That's that's a component, but it is, because we need to have good drinking water for our kids and our staff, too.
Mm-hmm. Great.
So,
do you have time or a moment to quickly navigate to your web page? She's created a web page. Yeah.
Oh, same password?
And if you could go down to under contents, go to more contents on the right, maybe? Unless you have it right there. And hit on more contents.
I can put the Prezi on there. Yeah.
I can see that pyramid very well. I'd like to be able to look at it.
I know the water fountain.
So on her homepage, under Healthy Living Grant Resources, she's created a website.
All the kids and all the other people love. Yeah. I'm like, this is cool. This is great.
And this is another indicator of the passion that Ginger is bringing to the grant. Uh-huh. Is she's tracking what she is doing on a website that will live on forever. And it's just great stuff. And ultimately, we're going to have more pictures and things. But right now, all the things she discussed here down the side of the Healthy Challenge, Safe Route to School, Culinary Arts, Harvest of the Month, there's a lot there. People, our goal is that the website becomes a one-stop shop and that everything she's doing will be there. And
does that come off of the main page?
Yes. If you go back to the main page, you'll see where it is. It's right there. It's featured. Right there. That's the main page.
Just further down, yeah.
And it's right under Healthy Living Grant Resources.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, thank you.
Great.
For indulging me there.
Wow. Thank you. All right. Any other questions or comments? And we'll... Okay. Thank you, Ginger. Mm-hmm. Next, we'll go on to the elementary school calendar that we were discussing a little bit earlier. If I could have a motion to approve this the modified elementary school calendar.
I'll make a motion to approve the 2013-2014 modified elementary school calendar.
Second.
Okay. Motion's been made and seconded. And discussion. Dr. Rob, you want to
sure.
at least...
By way of discussion, you have in your packet the letter to the commissioner, which I wish I could take credit for writing, but in fact, I just signed my name to it and said, nice job, Erica. you can read through that. And we, I was in Mike Hanley's office, and we called Erica, and we had a three-way conversation there. I happened to be in Juneau, and she was in Anchorage. And so what we had done was lined out our rationale. And what I've learned about going to the Department of Education is like when, I much prefer it when principals, when they have an issue, they come to me, they say, well, here's my problem, and by the way, here's a couple of solutions. That's what we did with Commissioner Hanley. We say, here's our problem. The school's going to be torn apart. We can try to add 10 minutes to each day of school from here on out, change all the schedules and all this stuff. And but we would prefer to modify the calendar. The reason we can modify it is that we run a 173-day student calendar, which is 3 days in excess, and a lot of districts do this, of the 170-day state minimum. So really what we were asking permission to do was modify the existing calendar to the state minimum, which would have been literally, quote-unquote, no-brainer. But what we also wanted to do is move back one day to 169 days rather than having youngsters have to come on Monday for a very short day just to count a day of school. And we needed his dispensation to have that happen. And he understood being an elementary principal. He understood the futility in just having a day of school to come and say hello and goodbye and was amenable to that. So you've got the letter. You have the rationale. This board actually approves the calendar first before we submit it to the Department of Education. Then they approve it. So we're a little bit backwards here, but it was a timing thing. We tried to strike while the iron was hot and we had access to the commissioner. So we beg your forgiveness and implore your permission.
Makes sense to me. So is there any further discussion on it? It was pretty straightforward and necessary. So, okay, then I'll...
Do we need to roll call for this? Okay. All those in favor approving the 2013-2014 modified elementary school calendar, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes 4-0.
Now you can go tell your staff it's official. We are 3/4 of the way there. Mike is next, Hanley. But now we can send a letter and say, board is approved.
Right.
Thank you very much. We appreciate that.
All right. Next, we are going to, it looks like we need to discuss or at least start the ball rolling on memorial policies. Currently, the district does not have a set policy, and we have at least three that I can come up with off the top of my head of memorials that we have posted within the different buildings, and see what if anybody has any strong opinions so far, or are we still kind of in the beginning stage, or if you want, go ahead.
What you have is a variety of resources to read and study, and these may become guides for you as you move forward, and the board may elect to do nothing. Many, many school districts in other states have memorial policies because, heaven forbid, tragedies happen, and it's better to have a policy to deal with it when you move into that mode so that you aren't working out of emotion. You can follow, you can honor and be respectful at the same time, but your heart, we all want our heart to take over, and we just need to have a so what do we do if? And there's a variety of different policies here. There's some that have grandfather clauses, and I would just encourage the board to read these closely. Keep this on the agenda. This is not a we're in no hurry, put it that way. It could take several board meetings. It could take a long time. I would encourage the board to have public testimony when you get to the point of having a policy drafts for people that want to come and speak to the needs. So that's basically where it is. I know in both Principal Dormer's previous district and in my previous district, we had memorials policies. Those are big urban districts where things just happen because the population was greater. So it would put Petersburg, again, out there in front in terms of preparing for a tragic event and being ready to deal with it on another front. Principals' comments, I would encourage or invite. Any comments from principals at the microphone?
Sure. No, I could just say that, I would really strongly encourage, please, the board, to consider this, and then also to really open it up for public testimony. I know there's some public community members that would really like to have their opinions heard, and then also let you know that we have, Councillor Etcher, I should say, has been working on this a little bit and spoken with some state representatives and has some information to share. I know that Kim Kilkenny and Petersburg Mental Health are also involved, and at the appropriate time would like to share their viewpoint. There's just so many different viewpoints. It's obviously a sensitive matter, and I really appreciate the superintendent just kind of pointing us in the direction of course, the board, the community representative coming up with a policy that really kind of even makes it equitable and just gets us to the next step.
So, board members, I would encourage you to create a little file folder because you'll be getting, this is going to be an ongoing work in progress, and this is just the beginning, and you'll be getting hard copy and digital copy, and I would encourage you also maybe to do some of your own research on the Internet and be prepared to offer us ideas because we certainly don't have all that's out there. And I think the best policy is one that's had the most discussion and thought. Mm-hmm. So,
well, do we want to just keep it on the agenda or wait a few months? I mean, I don't know what people have. Cheryl?
I've already read through these. Okay. Did it in December when it was initially sent out. And it's there is a lot of different views.
Mm-hmm.
Not having it ever happen to me personally, a parent might think different than a non-parent. But it's just everyone has, there's like, no, we don't do it. Or we do a garden, or we do it for a limited time. Mm-hmm. So there's just lots of choices. But I agree. I mean, I think we need a policy.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, like, we don't need to rush it, but we do need it, and I think we do need to have the public and everyone else's opinion,
mm-hmm.
too. Because,
yeah.
I mean, my opinion can change.
I had those same feelings when I read through them, that there's such a broad difference between opinions on how you should do this.
And then how they pass away, too, is different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The suicide versus an accident,
mm-hmm.
or cancer or sickness, it's all different, and it all needs to be spelled out in this policy.
Yeah.
So I didn't mean to interrupt you, Dawn. I'm sorry.
No, I agree. It's just, and when you really sit down and look at it, it's something that we do need to have a lot of public discussion on. Mm-hmm. It's a very personal and touches everybody
And being in such a small community, you know so many more people, mm-hmm. even if they're just acquaintances. You know. John?
Yeah, I guess I'd like to keep it moving on the agenda. There's no reason mm-hmm. to push it rapidly, no. but I think better policies come when they're derived from a non-crisis situation.
Exactly.
And we're in that situation right now. There really isn't a need, mm-hmm. but I don't see any advantage to really prolonging it either. Mm-hmm. I think we ought to just kind of read what's out there and see what fits our community and our situation best and then adopt a policy mm-hmm. accordingly.
Does AASB? I guess they do.
Model policy.
Yeah, they do.
Again, Petersburg, as with the water bottles, we have some really great people here who are really mm-hmm. out there thinking ahead of the times, and commendations to our staff for being willing to take on tough issues, which will save us tough decisions later.
Mm-hmm.
This is such
a broad topic. I wonder if maybe we should, when we set it as a monthly board agenda item, that we maybe start making a list of options, say, you know, come up with, okay, we've heard this option A of having a wall in the school where with plaques, or say you could mm-hmm. buy a, like they did in the library, you know, you buy a fish and put somebody's name on it, mm-hmm. or buy an apple, put somebody's name on it, or something, so that everybody gets the same treatment. And start making a list of all the different options so that we're not dealing in a very kind of generalized environment. But when mm-hmm. the public hears these things, they can kind of think a little more succinctly about what the options are that we're looking at. And I mean, not to say we're endorsing them, but just to say, okay, there's this option, there's this option, mm-hmm. there's this option, and add them and have people talk about them.
If the board would direct or would desire, we can scan all this and we can start a folder on, if it's going to be kind of a community mm-hmm. input project, all the things the board is reading is public documents, but we can put it on our website so that people want to see, and we'll give them each titles and they can look them up and have reference points.
Sounds
I mean, that might
great.
Be a good way to start, as opposed to having a or in addition to having a list, having this is all the stuff the board is reviewing, and mm-hmm. that way people can reference things when they speak with you mm-hmm. or they speak here. If you would like, you can do that.
I think also like? Just if we keeping it on the agenda each month until some sort of resolution has come to that, kind of along the lines what you're talking about, I think, Don, is almost topical. Like, okay, we're talking about memorials. What type, you know, or what's the underlying topic we're going to discuss this time, and kind of getting through it that way without it just being a random conversation about memorials.
About every
possibility. Yeah, kind of address some of the top issues. All right, well, let's definitely keep it on for then next month's agenda, since it sounds like most of us, if not all of us, might be here. And we'll figure out between now and, I guess, the time agenda setting if we want to get more specific. Or in that time, I guess, maybe if we can get those documents up on the website, mm-hmm. so if any community members do want to discuss any of it with a board member, they can call them.
Correct. Reference documents.
Yeah. Or they can show up. They can. But if they want to just talk to us separately, that's fine, too.
Okay. Should we set a goal for when we want to have that?
I would hate to. We're getting into the end of the school year, and I know some families will, you know, they're off fishing for the summer, and I would almost seem like it would be a resolution of the fall and to a certain mm-hmm. degree, just because of the time of year we're starting the discussion. But I don't know if anybody else has any.
I agree.
I basically would anticipate that. We have a March meeting, an April meeting, and then May is consumed with end mm-hmm. of year stuff. And frankly, it's a good opportunity for an incoming superintendent to understand and to get to learn. I would welcome the opportunity, if I were an incoming superintendent, mm-hmm. to be dealing with this kind of policy development, because it's a great way to learn about the community and what's important. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a great opportunity for a new mm-hmm. superintendent.
Okay. All right. Well, so at this point, we'll just keep it on the agenda for next month.
Okay. And we'll get on the website, the stuff you have so far.
Thank you. All right, moving on to resignations. It looks like the board has recognized the acceptances by the superintendent of Dustin Crump's letter of resignation effective the end of the school year on behalf with our board policy 4117.2. And the board is also recognizing the acceptance by the superintendent of Vanessa Miller's letter of resignation effective the end of the 2013-14 school year on behalf of the board. And we certainly thank her for her 8 years of service to the district. I know she's a well-loved teacher, and it's sad to see her go, but I can understand. I totally understand why she wants to be home with her cute little ones. So if anybody else had any comments or questions? Okay. Moving on. Last item really on our agenda is the infamous book review that we have been pushing off for so very long. my brain is, I at some point had been a bit more organized, I think. But for everybody out in radio land, the school board has been suggested to us to read a book called Reign of Air, The Hoax of the Privatization Movement and the Dangers to American Public Schools. Boy, I butchered that one. By Diane
Ravitch.
Mm-hmm. And we were going to try and get to, I believe it was chapter 17, which is not quite half the book, but for those out there that aren't familiar with it, she's pretty strongly against charter schools, but more, at least the portions we've read so far have been on testing, the excessive amount of testing, and how some of that testing is quite flawed in its determination of how to help kids. So I didn't prepare any specific questions. I just guess more of a roundtable discussion.
Yeah, it's basically
on it.
It's just what did you think?
Yeah.
Is it something that we need to be aware of as we move forward? Because as we move forward as a district, we're going to be constantly emerging and changing as our population changes, as funding affects us. And it's just, I think, that reason I suggested the board might read this. There's a strong movement across the nation. It's a bit anti-public school, and I believe public schools are the bedrock of our nation, and equal opportunity for everyone. And the whole testing thing, we have seen the difficulty with over-testing, and you teach the kid not to the test, basically. The whole piece, and again, Petersburg out there in front, we have focused on K through 3 as being the primary building block. If you have success in K through 3, you come out a third grader reader, your likelihood of success in later grades is significantly increased. Mm-hmm. And those are some of the things he brings out. There's a lot of data, a lot of research, and really what I was kind of hoping for was just, what do you think? Is this board, do you want to do something different as we move forward? We're going to be having to answer some of these questions, particularly with the current legislature. So if you disagree, that's fine too.
I think one of the things that Diane Ravitch states a lot in this book that we're all very familiar with, and she goes over and over, is the standardized testing. Does it really reflect what our students know, and does it really reflect what our teachers are teaching? And when you look behind the numbers and you break down the numbers, you get back to demographics again. We get back to the issues of poverty, and we get back to the issues of minority status. And behind those, all of the testing that we do, it all really boils down to that proportion of students that you have within your school that, you know, maybe fall below the poverty line, or their demographics are not where we'd want them to be. So comparing public school to charter school, where in charter school you're probably not going to have any students that have to deal with maybe not having meals or worrying about home or finances or homelessness. The charter school kids' demographics are so superior that it's an unfair comparison on that standardized type of testing. And I think we are all pretty aware of that, and it always strikes me as strange that that point doesn't come out as frequently and as hard as it should in legislative discussions. And it's almost as if there's a media campaign to ignore the fact that just taking a broad look at that statistic of scores and blaming it on the teachers, when it really is, that's not where the fault lies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in terms of the book, what you're talking about is basically Chapter 6, the facts about achievement gap, and Chapter 10, how poverty affects academic achievement. Mm-hmm. And neither of those areas, I mean, the teachers here in Petersburg do an outstanding job of taking kids by the bootstraps and helping lift them up. There's a day that I don't go in a staff room or attend a staff meeting that they aren't talking about a little Johnny and, mm-hmm. and is he here today and what are we going to do to get him here if he isn't. It's fantastic. Yeah. So you're exactly right.
And one of the other things that I wanted to mention, I had read an article that came out in Time magazine, just happened to come up at the same time we were reading this book, called The Diploma That Works. And they're doing some pilot projects in some of the schools in the East Coast. Unfortunately, they're charter schools, but I mean, it's something to think about in a public education, and it about having kids graduate from high school with a longer high school, say 5 years, and the first 3 years academic, and the last 2 years, they have the potential to have an associate's degree when they leave, such as the refrigeration technician or the CMA, so that you're, those that want to take a vocational track can. I know down in Texas some of the schools have set up their high schools, and we're not big enough to do that, so that the kids can choose, the student can say, okay, for high school I want to go to the arts high school, or I want to go to math and science high school, or I want to go to different high schools. And I thought that was really interesting, this discussion about extending high school, combining into associate's degree and vocational track. Mm-hmm. Just a comment.
Nicole?
Testing is a tricky subject all on its own because you have so many factors, and it's kind of like you test in elementary school and then a couple times in middle school and then a couple times in high school. So it's kind of drilled into our brain that you have to have like this really good score in order to get a really good job. And then there's other factors like, you know, did you eat a good breakfast or did you get enough sleep or what's your homework situation? There's so many different factors that if you didn't get a good score on one test, then, you know, are you going to do well?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And how that's going to affect you later on.
Well, I think even just recently in the media was how they revamped the SAT once again what are kids actually learning and where are they coming out? And I thought that was just kind of a nod to this book about, wait, maybe these tests aren't exactly checking to see what kids know. They are. It's not that kids are coming out of school not knowing anything. It's just the tests are antiquated or they're not. Mm-hmm. But I think what bothered me, at least so far, the most, and I just want to, I guess, emphasize that as long as I'm on the board, that it would be something that I would be, especially if I started to hear it on the legislative side, is tying teacher salaries to student achievement. That just gets my hair and myself up in a bind, because I just don't think to expect a teacher to try and teach to a child that may be coming in that has watched their parent be abused, have been abused themselves, did not get breakfast, doesn't know if they're going to get lunch or dinner, and then expect that child to perform like their neighboring child who has a wonderful home that got breakfast, got dinner, has loving parents, supportive environment, and then say, well, because this child A didn't succeed, your salary is not going to be as high as it should be because of this. It just... got me in a tither over the whole idea of connecting the two.
Actually, Madam Chair, that chasm has already been breached. The recent evaluation law that was passed and is being implemented, which Petersburg is proudly not a leader in that. We are moving and dragging our feet, and we're going to do it right. But in fact, a component of it in its third year of implementation is tying teacher evaluation to student performance. And so we're waiting to see what does that look like. We're not going to try to get out there in front on that one because we're really not sure it's the right way to go anyway. But it hasn't been tied to salary, but it is tied to evaluation, which in my humble opinion is the first stone knocked off that wall. But incorrectly, I believe.
Yeah.
I don't know. Any principles or eight comments?
John?
Speaking for them, too, I hope.
Yeah, I just wanted to... The thing that I took out of this is that somehow policymakers across the nation have been persuaded that the cure for the difficulties we're having in our school system is charter schools. Mm-hmm. Instead of looking at what is it about charter schools that's made them successful and trying to incorporate that, they just take this very simplified approach that, well, charter schools is the answer, and therefore we need to encourage that sort of thing. I have two of my kids who teach in charter schools, and I've talked to them a great deal about, you know, what is it about charter schools that you think has been successful? And
invariably they come back to smaller classrooms. The students are drawn to this. The parents are drawn to this. We as teachers are drawn to this because we teach in smaller classroom environments. Well, you can create that within the public schools. It just takes a little bit of money. And instead of starving the schools to death so that there are larger and larger classrooms every year, there are answers to this in the public schools. And I guess this becomes a pretty dominant situation in our lives right now because our legislature is looking at this thing from the standpoint of a statewide amendment that would allow public funds to go to charter schools. And I just think they're looking at the wrong target. And I think it's scary because those areas that are plush with charter schools tend to be where we've got big populations, Fairbanks and the Mat-Su Valley, and where all the votes are, you know, is also where all the charter schools are. So I think we're maybe looking at an uphill battle in terms of persuading the policymakers to look at this a little bit differently. But that's the whole thing I pull out of it, is that they're just saying that charter schools are the answer, and what she is saying is it's an untried answer right now. It's an unproven answer. And I believe personally that we're looking at the wrong thing. I think we need to look at what makes charter schools successful, not looking at charter schools as the panacea to our needs.
Well, just even looking here in Petersburg, how we've been able to maintain small class sizes right from the beginning, and why our school district is so successful. And I think of my father-in-law got his doctorate, and his dissertation was on small class sizes, and that was in the 1950s. And how that was one of the successful things to kids in school. And I thought, for crying out loud, he's been talking about this since the 1950s. And like you said, I can't imagine that it ever hurts a kid to be in a smaller class size. But I'm thankful in Petersburg we can still maintain that at this point, and hopefully well into the future.
I'm not concerned, John. Is there a proposal or up for vote on the legislature this year?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the governor who was just here, those of you who sat in on that, I think are aware that he is definitely supporting it. I think that most of the legislators that are from those areas where there are public or charter schools are also backing this, and so there are a lot of votes behind it, and they need 2/3 majority to pass a constitutional amendment, but it's those big population centers that have a lot of votes that are backing this one. So I think it's scary.
Once again, the listening audience, vast listening audience, send a email or make a short call to your legislator.
And they're looking for response. You know, an email is a pretty quick way to get to these individuals. And, you know, you just sit down and write a well-thought-out email and send it off, I think is very effective.
And even if they're short or phone calls, I've seen legislative senators, secretaries, or representative secretaries just sit there and do counts. Mm-hmm. Okay, you got 40 phone calls, yes, or 40 emails, yes,
yep.
And 40 no, and mm-hmm. that's what they go on when they get in that big rush. So mm-hmm. I think people don't need to feel like they have to, you know, be intimidated all by the fact of what they write. Just write something mm-hmm. that they can put on that.
Other.
They can put another slash mark down on the number of votes they get.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you guys have said basically everything.
There's quite a few some things you guys didn't mention. But I did get that their thing was that all public schools are failing.
Mm-hmm.
All of them are failing, and that's not the case. Mm-hmm. Just like the demographics, it depends on where you're at. Then it does depend on where your home and what's going on, and each student, you know, you never know. Maybe someone's having a really bad month. Something's mm-hmm. going on. I did get a lot of things that, you know, that has been going on. They say, oh, add more since the 1940s, 50s. Let's add technology. We need to get those jobs. Oh, that's not working. Let's do this. Something else happens. It's like this little roller coaster mm-hmm. that goes up and down. Let's do this. And they've done it, and let's try it again. one of the things was is that charter schools are the best, and there's lots of organizations out there that you think they're great, and they're not. They're for charter schools, and what they want is they say, if your teacher isn't performing, that test score is bad, that teacher's out of there. That's what that's what I got out of. I can't remember what chapter it was. If base test scores, get rid of the teacher.
The facts about teachers. And
yes, and then some of it was some charter schools not having certificates of teachers, certified teachers, and come in and teach, and they're not even certified. It's just like, wow. And it is, some of it is, I mentioned it before, money. In some places, it's, we're going to rent this. We're going to get money. We're going to get money. Rent that building. I mean, maybe in some places, not like that, but an excess of testing. I don't know. It's just like, it kind of opened my, but she is, it's on her, this is her opinion. But it's just kind of opened your mind about a lot of stuff and the Common Core and that. A lot of stuff is just, you have to read the book. Some of it was just too, yeah. It just like, I had to reread a lot. Just like, what?
I hope there's a run on the public library to check the book out.
It's just.
Diane Ravitch, Reign of Error. And she is a former undersecretary for the Federal Department of Education, so she knows of what she speaks.
Yes.
So.
And she uses facts and statistics to show there's not. They're not using any causation when they say that charter schools are better than public schools. There's no causation. There's not any research studies that show. And she debunks that. And she does have her own resources in here and research.
Do you have a comment, Nicole?
Nicole?
Yeah. What's going to happen if the bill passes, or like they get a 2/3 vote? What's going to happen?
Well, the governor said he would send his commissioner down here and he'd answer our questions.
I think you have the potential that someone could start a charter school here. Mm-hmm. And then what happens is that you have kids that could, would go to that, would want, go to that charter school, and it just means our population drops even more, which means less money to the school district. And there are so many of those fixed costs that we can't even do anything with. Mm-hmm. It costs the same amount to heat that building, whether we've got 400 students in all the buildings or 500 or 600, but we don't get as much money. And so it starts impacting, of course, then local jobs, and then the fact that if you don't have any rules on who you hire.
I think it encourages a stratification, too, in the system, because mm-hmm. those parents that are involved in their kids' education tend to seek out charter schools or other answers, and so you get the kids that are more motivated, that have more parental support over in this tier, and then the public schools wind up with those kids that are less motivated and have less parental support, and you get a tiered system or a stratified system. Mm-hmm. At least that's what I've seen in the areas where they have charter schools. It's those parents that are really involved in backing mm-hmm. their students and that sort of thing that tend to gravitate towards them, and that leaves the public schools with all the rest.
Mm-hmm. And the charter schools can also require additional money from the families, so they can say, okay, you want your daughter to come to the charter school, which is so much better and has 5 kids in each class, that's going to cost you $10,000, $20,000 a year, or $5,000. It's a very profitable business for charter schools. It's very profitable, and it's easy, relatively easy to do. So you have the charter school taking the money out, sucking it out of the public school, and then also receiving extra money from parents, which we can't ask parents to pay for the schools.
Yeah, and not tuition. For the basic program, only for extracurricular activities, and mm-hmm. we do ask for those things, and because it is extracurricular, it's additional. Mm-hmm. But by and large, you're absolutely correct. And charter schools can also have contracts that parents will sign. They're committed to volunteering 5 or 10 hours a week. They, mm-hmm. in order for youngster to attend there, they must volunteer and assist. There's all kinds of things that are there. It's very interesting. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, thank you.
No, I think it was good for us to get through this much of it, and then also just let the public know it's an interesting read that I think it educates you quite a bit on what's going, what the culture is, because I think a lot of times we do sit back and just say, well, our legislators will figure it out for us, and that's a dangerous thing to do. So, anybody have any further comments or no? All right. So, any additional comments from board members? Future agenda items. I think the only thing we really have that we want to keep on there is the discussion on the memorials.
Yeah.
And okay, then I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Can I have a second?
Second.
Okay, motion has been made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. The motion passes 4-0. Thank you and good night.
Oh.